Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Well, I'm hoping I sound a little better today. I'm feeling a little bit better. Of course, I'm in my super secret cave with my super high-powered, fancy little microphone. And so it may just sound bad with higher quality. Okay. It's a lot better microphone. I know that. But anyway, we keep pressing on, do we not? And thank the Lord for his touch and for his healing. And I also thank the Lord for the pause button, because just when I say that, thank the Lord for his healing, for his touch, I felt a huge cough come on. So I get to pause it right here and then start over again, right? And y'all never knew it unless I tell you. We're pressing on in the Psalms, and we're up to Psalm 10. And in Psalm 10, David is, again, picking up some of the themes that we've just seen, some things that he had just addressed in the ninth psalm, but then things that we've seen already to this point. And these are real legitimate things, okay? And not fake problems, not fraudulent kind of things. The first verse of this particular psalm, David just cuts to the chase with the issue. He asks two questions. I'll read it from the ESV. It says this: "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" So he asked two questions. Yahweh, why do you stand far off? Yahweh, why do you hide during times of distress or times of trouble? Now, the first thing that pops into my mind is, hey, are these accurate questions? Does the Lord stand far away? Does the Lord hide himself in times of trouble? And you sit there and you go, well, no, not really. But yeah, maybe, you know. So what's the problem? And the problem is this, and we're about to see it fleshed out in the balance of this psalm. Wickedness is having its day. He's already been talking about this in previous psalms. Wickedness is prevailing, and horrific things are happening. And it looks like that the Lord is standing far away. It might even look like, particularly from man's perspective, it may be interpreted that God is hiding himself in the times of trouble, that even the Lord doesn't even want to be around in the midst of this. And so when David is asking these questions, he's just expressing what he feels. It feels like, God, you're standing far away. It looks like, God, that you're hiding yourself because of these things. Now, I will tell you, by the time we get to the end of this psalm, I think it's 18 verses long, you're going to see that this is not what David really thinks. He's not accusing God of doing this, but he is saying, this is how I feel. This is what's going on. So verse 2 gives us insight into the whole thing. He says, in arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. Well, there's what we saw in the previous psalm. He's letting God know, hey, the wicked, they're pursuing the poor, aggressively going after them. Same thing happens today. Most of the wickedness that we encounter day in and day out, whether it be on a personal level or at the top levels of mankind, it's just the wicked pursuing the poor. The wicked pursuing to extract whatever they can from people. Okay, that's what it is. And he says they're going to get caught in these schemes. They're going to get caught in these schemes that they devise. Verse 3 says, for the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. So there you go. We get more insight into what David means by wicked. Okay, they're pursuing the poor, yeah. And, you know, we think, well, you can only get so much money out of a poor. Yes, perhaps, but you can get the labor of their life. Okay, if we truly knew, if people truly knew what our status was as individuals within our governmental systems, there would be such a worldwide uprising that it would be transformative. I'm not too sure we're not headed that way, and it would be a good thing. But so many people suffer such levels of cognitive dissonance, they just cannot believe the truth. I encounter it all the time. I'll sit there and point something out to somebody. They'll question me about something. I'll say, okay, here's what the Word of God says about this. And then I get those two enemies that come against us so often, the yeah buts and the what abouts. You know them. Yeah, but what about this? Okay, that kind of thing. I will sit there and point to evidence that they can look at with their own eyes and see. Okay, that they can feel experientially, and they still refuse to see, and they refuse to feel because of what they thought, what they believed. And the only reason they believe is because that thought has been taught to them. Okay. Well, the wicked know this. And boy, do they not use that against us. Because the wicked, and what they'll actually boast about this. We're seeing that more and more today. If you shared these kind of things 20 years ago, people thought you were crazy. Well, now they know we are. But there's truth in the crazy. Because right now, there are governmental and paragovernmental things and non-governmental entities that are meeting that do exactly this, that boast of the desire of their soul. They boast of it. They literally tell what they want to do. I mean, they literally sit there and say, okay, we want to bring the population of the world down to 500 million people. And I promise you, people, unlearned people, ignorant people, I guess not learned, particularly those of an urban background, they'll sit there and go, oh yeah, it needs to be done. That's great. That's wonderful. Not realizing that there's 8 billion people, okay, 8 billion people on earth. That means you're going to cut out 7.5 billion people. But this is the stated goal, the stated desire. They used to have it in rock, in stone, in Georgia, but that mysteriously blew up a couple years ago. Isn't that interesting? Okay. But they boast of these things. They will literally tell you what they're planning on doing. I could go on and on and on with examples of this that we're seeing literally in the world today. And I think most people would be shocked if they just would think it through of what the wicked do. This verse tells us what their goal is. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, so there's the desire, and the one greedy for gain, that's what they are. They're greedy for gain, and they curse and renounce the Lord. One greedy for gain curses and treats Yahweh with contempt, or as the Authorized Version says, whom the Lord abhorreth, the covetous. They do this with complete intent. And David's asking, Lord, do you see this? Have you hidden yourself? Again, by the time we get to the end of the psalm, you're going to find out that obviously God has not, and God is there. But it's hard because we wonder. These kind of psalms, I think, are really good for us because too often we think, well, we can't really bother God with something. Forget that. Or we may cross the line if we're really sharing how we feel about something with the Lord. He already knows. Okay? He's big enough to handle it, guys. Okay? And we see how to handle it in these examples that David has given us. Hey, thank y'all so much for your time and your patience with me, and I'll see you in the next episode.